Welcome to Dad Rock, a conversation podcast about the intersection of life, parenting, and being an artist. My name is TJ Foster.
I'm Corey Dempsey. On this week's episode, the inaugural episode of this here show, it's going to just be TJ and I chopping it up and giving you all a taste of what this podcast is going to be all about.
In the future, we'll be inviting guests to join in the conversation, share their experiences. That way you won't get bored of hearing our voices so much. But for this first episode, you just get us. So let's dive into it, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. First thing I want to talk to you about was let's talk about the origins of this idea that we had here.
Sounds great.
How did this thing come about?
You kind of came to me and you were like, hey, what if we, you know, we're both dads, we both play in bands. What if we start a podcast where we talk about that? That's literally, I don't know, I'd say what, 95% of our lives is either cleaning up after children or playing music. So
yeah, roundabout.
Yeah. So you came to me and then we just kind of started tossing it around. And since we both have so much free time on our hands, we're like, let's just do this. Talk to people about their experiences and have some fun. So yeah.
Yeah. If I recall correctly, the reason it came to me was I was playing guitar in my little, you know, home studio and my son came in, the dude. I'm just going to refer to him as the dude.
Perfect.
He came in and just started messing with all my knobs on all my pedals on my guitar. And I came in and I was just like, plugged it in, went to play, sounded completely like shit. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I looked and so it happened. And so now every time I play guitar, I just have to take pictures of the knobs to remember what the settings are at. And I'm just like, all right, these are the adjustments I need to make now that I'm a dad.
To account for the dude. Yeah. My kids like to, just when I don't realize it, they'll go to my rack of guitars and just start twisting like the tuning knobs. So mm-hmm. I'll pick it up and just immediately strum a chord and be like, oh, that sounds like hot trash. I know exactly why. Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
You just got to make adjustments. And, yeah, that's what we just wanted to talk about, share our experiences and, you know, hopefully people can relate to some of these struggles that I think are not necessarily unique, but unique to being a musician. Yeah. So we just wanted to talk about that stuff.
I talk, our colleague at Metroland, Kiki, and I have had conversations about these double lives that we lead. I ran into her it was some fall carnival or something, obviously a little while back. And it was just funny. We're chasing around our kids. And that same night we were like both going to be at like some loud rock show. Right. It's just so funny to like kind of see other people in the community out and about doing their own thing. The same we are. So yeah, I think this is going to be fun, but, yeah, man. So you were telling me that you just had, a shit ton of 2-year-olds running around your house over the weekend.
Yeah. So it was the dude's second birthday party. It was supposed to be on Sunday the 25th, but we had that huge snowstorm, so we postponed it a week to Saturday. And I mean, the whole thing was like, all right, Friday night, exactly like you said, I'm at a show playing at Lost and Found, and yeah. I'm there until like 1 o'clock in the morning because we didn't go on until like 10:30. So by the time I'm all packed up and shit, I'm back home at 1. I was, you know, a little bit drunk and like high from the experience of playing live. And I fell asleep on the couch and then I'm up at 7:30 the next morning preparing all this food and all this baking shit because I'm about to have like 10, you know, 2-year-olds running around my house. And, you know, it's just one of those wild experiences that like, exactly like you said, the double life. Like I'm, you know, on one hand doing like the quote unquote rock star thing.
Yeah.
Playing on a stage in front of like 100 people. And then the next morning I'm baking stuff so toddlers can show up at my house and ruin shit. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was exhausting, but like all these kids had a whale of a time. And then we went on like an hour too long. We planned for it to be like 3 hours, 11 to two. That was 1 hour too long for everybody. Cause like the last hour just was an absolute fucking nightmare. Everyone was having a meltdown. Everyone was losing their shit. Everyone was refusing to share now.
yeah.
So, things devolved very quickly in that last hour, but the first 2 hours were great.
That's good. Every time it comes time to plan a birthday party for one of my young kids, like it's like every couple of years, I'm like, oh, we should have people over the house and do this. And every year I'm like, oh, now I know why these places command like hundreds of dollars to like host your party, because they have like the strict regimen. Like you got to be in this place at this time. And then everyone's out like right on the dot at 1 o'clock, whatever the case may be. Hosting parties is so fun. But after I do, I'm like, I don't want to do that again for another 3 or 4 years.
No, I mean, me and my wife afterwards, like we put Dawson down or we put the dude down for a nap. And then just instantly we were both on the couch, just sprawled out, taking a nap ourselves. Yeah. Like it was the most exhausting experience. We had just gone to war. We had survived and now we're out.
That's that actually answers my next question, was if the dude still naps, which is, that's awesome. Cherish
about,
that.
About man. 2.5 hours to 3 hours every day. Oh, it's the only time that I ever get anything done. It's wonderful.
It is amazing. When my 3-year-old stopped napping, it was, I didn't realize how much I appreciated that time.
I'm going to rue the day. I cannot wait in a bad way. Like I just need it to last as long as possible.
100%. Yeah. So my 3-year-old, so we're in the middle of potty training at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so my wife is like on this kick about, you know, we gotta have all the right stuff. Right. So like, there's like a toilet cover in like one bathroom. There's like a stair step like thing to get on the toilet in another one. And there's like a mini like portable toilet in another room. Like there's just toilets everywhere. It's fucking ridiculous. And so we're getting there. It's slow, but going okay. And I'm upstairs in my room. I think I was just like changing after work or something. And all of a sudden I just hear my 3-year-old like just like screaming for me downstairs. And I'm like, I'll be right there. Like just said, let me change, like give me like 5 minutes to chill. And all of a sudden I just like hear my wife like, no, don't go, just wait. And so I go like to the top of the stairs and I see my 3-year-old walking halfway up the stairs. She's carrying the bowl of her portable toilet because she wanted to show me the giant like man-sized turd that's just like curled up in the toilet bowl. She was so proud. And she carried it from like one end of the house to the other and then halfway up the stairs. It was just, oh my God. So another thing to look forward to.
We have all the stuff and it's just sitting in the basement right now. Like it's ready to go for when that day comes. We're not anywhere near that yet, but it's going to come soon. I can only imagine like, if I was in that situation and I saw my 3-year-old like carrying this bowl of shit across the across the house, I would just like I'd instantly start imagining like a movie scene where they trip and it just goes everywhere.
Like Kevin in the office with this giant pot of chili just goes
exactly everywhere. Except it's shit from your 3-year-old.
And you know, credit to her, she did not spill anything.
Nice.
But man, my wife was definitely freaking out. I lost it. I was dying, but oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh man. So you got a 2-year-old. All right. So what are you most looking forward to about they say terrible twos. In my experience, I found it's more terrible threes, but like I've also only had girls. So like, what are you seeing now that like your little dude is two?
It's just like a really difficult time right now because he's very, very opinionated, but can't communicate clearly any of those opinions. And so it just turns into all these Mexican standoffs where we're just like, I do not know what you want from me. And he's just sitting there like yanking at my hand. And you know, it's just everything turns into a fight. You know, we go on like a daily walk together, where we take the dog, I put him in the stroller, go for like a mile walk or like an hour walk, like however many miles we can cover in that time. Mm-hmm. And it's a great time for me. I just like listen to music, podcasts, think, whatever, and, you know, take the dog out. It used to be so great because he loved it. Now, every time I try and get him in the stroller, it's just like a real battle and I have to like hold him down and strap him into the thing. Same thing with getting in the car seat. Same thing with changing his diaper. It's just any time I'm trying to do something that he doesn't want to do in that very moment, it turns into just a huge war. And like, we just, there's no communication. There's no lines of like understanding. That's not going to change anytime soon. It's not like he can start like rationally thinking soon, but like that's the stage that we're in right now. And that's like, so I'm just really looking forward to getting out of that, where we can just have like some level of understanding, like, hey, we're going to go for a walk now. You're just going to have to deal a little bit. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. So I'm just going to be in this state for quite some time.
Is he completely different with your wife? Like, is it just a you thing, or is it just in general?
It's mostly just in general. Okay. Yeah, it's very much in general. I mean, he does have different relationships. Like, he's a lot more clingy with my wife. He's less clingy, less, more independent with me. Likes to just do his own thing, and, you know, will come over when he needs something, but like, very much, he just does his own thing when I'm around. When mom's around, he's very clingy. Like, she has to be there. Yeah. But as far as like that piece goes, where like, when it's time to change the diaper, when it's time to put him in the car seat, we both are going to war for those things. And I have to put him down pretty much every night because of the clingy thing. Like, when my wife tries to put him down, he loses his absolute shit and just starts freaking out. So like, I have to come in, I'm the closer, so to speak. So like, she'll start the bedtime routine, then I come in for like the last 5 minutes, we have our little routine, I put him down, he's fine. But if my wife tries to put him down, like the clingy thing, he just loses his shit and won't go to sleep. So, you know, we've had to adjust to these things. What can I look forward to with terrible threes? What's on the horizon for me?
Man, I feel like this maybe this is like a unique to girls thing. Because I've gone through this. Well, I'm in the middle of one right now, but I've had two others that have gone through threes, and twos were always mostly fine. Like, it was never as bad as people like hinted. But the second like they hit three, it's like all of a sudden they learn. It's almost like you said about getting opinionated, but they learn to express those opinions in a very loud and tantrum throwing manner. And so like my 3-year-old, for example, like, she'll be a complete sweetheart and we'll just be like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, we'll just be reading books before bed. She'll be snuggled up. We'll be just reading. It's super cute, cozy, blah, blah, blah. And the second we're like, okay, gotta go, I don't know, you know, brush your teeth, She like stand up and just start screaming, no, I want another book. And just start like, the other night, I can't remember what was happening, but she literally like stood on this little play couch that she has and starts jumping up and down and like throwing her fist down like she's in like a cartoon. I'm just like, where are you learning this? It's so like, but that's how they're expressing themselves, I guess. So it's just, I feel like they're a lot more, I'll say bipolar, which is probably not the best word to use, but like, they're just very, like, hot and cold. And
yeah, there's no gray area.
There's really no gray area. And so that's kind of like the biggest thing. And also I do remember like the instances where like, you know, you try and put them in a car seat and they just really don't want to be in there, blah, blah, blah. She's at the stage now where it's like, it's not really so much that, it's that she wants to do every single thing herself. She wants to climb into the car seat. She wants to buckle it. She wants to take off her diaper. She wants to, you know, she's in this phase now where like, she's ever since she was little, she helps my wife make her coffee in the morning. It's actually really adorable. And she knows, like, you could probably put her in front of the Keurig and she would press all the right buttons and make coffee if left to her own devices.
Impressive.
It's wild. But now it's like every single thing that happens in the kitchen, she has to be a part of. She'll go to like our table and she'll just drag a chair across the floor, like nails on a chalkboard, to the counter, climb up on the counter, stand on the counter, get the dishes or like the food or whatever she needs, and just keep moving the chair around the kitchen until she has everything she needs. And if you try and help her, she gets pissed. So it's like, it's that kind of stuff.
Generally speaking, I'm like looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Because like, it just creates more activities that we can do together. But I also can foresee it like, and I always just think, do you watch Bluey with your kids?
Oh my God, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, the episode where they're trying to make the omelet for Bandit in the morning on his birthday. And it's just like, I just can't get that out of my head, where like, it's just, we need to get something done quickly. And he's trying to helping, or he's tried to help, like help. And you're just like, and you're like trying to be a good parent and like allow them in, but also like, dude, we just got to get out the door. Like, we need to be somewhere in 10 fucking minutes. I can't let you buckle your buckle seat because it's just, you're not going fast enough. We got to go right now.
They have no semblance of time. It's funny you mentioned that Bluey episode, because I had that exact, like almost to a T, that exact experience of the day. So like it's like once a weekend, I really like, I don't do a lot of the cooking because my wife just really likes to do it and I'm just not great at it, but I do like making breakfast. So I'll make pancakes every, you know, once a weekend or whatever. And my three-year-old has started wanting to assist with that, which I love. And so she's, again, she likes to help in the kitchen, right? But then it became, okay, I want to crack the eggs, whatever. So again, we've done this enough times where like she pretty much knows everything that goes into a pancake recipe. So she'll start getting out all the ingredients. She goes over to the fridge the other day and she takes out the carton of eggs and she opens it up and she knows like that we need two. And so she starts taking them out like in the middle of the kitchen instead of waiting to the counter, and then just like drops the carton and all the eggs like all over, like to a T, that Bluey episode, like how relatable. But now it's like, yeah, she's when my 8-year-old would help me, when I finally let her start cracking like the eggs, she was like the token like bingo character where she would just like slam them and they go everywhere. My 3-year-old is the exact opposite. She like just taps them really, really soft. Really, really sound, just keeps going. And I'm just like sitting there like, okay, calm down. Don't freak out. Just, it's going to be okay. Just like really little taps. Like, okay, you can go a little harder. Finally, she gets to a point where like there's a tiny crack and she's like, okay, now I can, you know, break it open, which you absolutely can. Just shoves her thumbs in everywhere. It's just,
yeah,
it's fun, but I definitely can relate to the frustration of just like wanting to get something done in a finite amount of time and just move on with the day.
Yeah. And I feel like that's been the whole thing. Like, you just have to lose all semblance of like, there's no schedule that you can keep except for like, for me right now, the only time like I have a set schedule is just like 1 to 4 when he's, you know, supposed to be quote unquote napping. And most of the time he is. So like that 3-hour, you know, block is just like scheduled to a T. It's like, I got to get this, and this done. And I, you know, have this amount of time to get it done. All the rest of the day, it's just like, we're just on a whim operating on whatever fucked up schedule is according to a toddler.
Yeah. Which actually just to bring it back to music for a second. So I'm curious. So
yeah.
You were going through your bedtime routine. It seems like you and your wife have like a really good, like teamwork kind of strategy, right? Like you said, you're like the closer. I'm curious, like what reports do you get when, say, you're playing a show, you're out late, right? And bedtime is completely on your wife.
Usually I get a video. So like he's usually going down somewhere between like 7:30 and 8. Like we start the bedtime routine like 7:15.
Yeah.
You know, and then usually somewhere in the 7:30 to 8 range, like I'm just kind of good at reading his signals and I'm like, all right, I can put him down now. He'll be fine. It's all good. That's usually the schedule. If I'm out, you know, going to a show, covering a show, playing a show, doing whatever, like if I'm out that night, usually around like 9:15, I get a text message and it's a photo. And my wife looks like she has just gone to war. Her shit's like everywhere and the baby's just asleep on her, and it's usually like I have to try and transfer him now. And usually it's like, you know, because like that's just what it has to turn into, or she just puts him down and lets him cry it out. But like she's not great at that. It like hurts her heart and I understand that. Like it's not easy. Usually like I just have to put my headphones and ignore it. And I just set a timer for myself and I'm like, all right, 25 minutes. If he's not down, I'll go and get him. But like, he can deal with it. But like, she doesn't have that in her. I understand it. So usually on those nights, it's just like, I get a text message 45 minutes to an hour after he's already supposed to be down. And it looks like there has been a significant battle that has just ensued.
Oh man. Yeah, that's so tough. And I'm sure it's not easy. Like, you know, it's probably somewhat amusing, right? Getting that text message, or at least like, because you expect it, right? Not that it's an amusing situation, but because like, okay, like clockwork, I'm going to get this text tonight, and there it is. But man, it's also gotta feel a little weird, right? Like being out of the house during those moments. I find it difficult. Yeah.
No, I do too. And I'm like, you know, it just creates such a sense of gratitude that I'm like, thank goodness I have my wife who's supportive of this shit. Like, cause you know, it's just impossible to do any of this without a supportive partner.
Yeah.
And you know, I just feel mostly grateful, but I also feel bad in those moments. Like, shit, I should really be there to help. I mean, that was one of my questions that I wanted to get into with you. Like, why do you feel like you still have to do this? Like, because I have friends who I play music with who are my friends from, you know, forever. And we play in a band together, but it's just a fun thing, you know, for us. And then I have like my own things that is more of a compulsion that like I have to do. They don't have that. Like, it's just a fun night out with the boys for them. Like, we go play music. It's fun. Great.
Yeah.
So like that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about a little bit, like this compulsion where we have to be out and we feel like absentee fathers, but like, we're not, we're just doing what we have to do. So I don't know. I don't know what the question is. I'm sure you know what I'm getting at,
but yeah,
I wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. It's something I've struggled with in the last, especially over the last year or so. But especially as like my middle daughter's gotten older, she's going to be 9 in a few weeks. She'll probably have already turned 9 by the time you're listening to this podcast. But like, she's kind of like she's my best friend in the house, right? Like she turned 3 a week before the pandemic started. And suddenly I was working from home every day. And so she and I were just spending all this time together, right? And so like we got really used to that, and she got really used to hanging out with me, and we just have that really close dynamic. And back then she was like young enough to where it was like, oh, you know, okay, we spent the day together. Dad's going to play a show. We weren't really playing shows at that time, but you know, as we came out of the pandemic, that's what started happening. And then as she got older, it kind of became like, she never makes me feel guilty about leaving, but I can see it in her face that she wishes I wouldn't. And then I feel guilty no matter what. Going back to like your thoughts about like the compulsion, like I feel like, I guess, first of all, like I've been doing this for so long that I don't really know how not to. It's kind of one of those things that's been in my life since I was 12 years old. Honestly, I was either going to my friend's house to rehearse and write stupid songs, play in basement shows or VFW halls. And then just like gradually from there, I haven't really had a break. And every time I think about it, I'm like, man, yeah, I really need a break. And then I'll just go stir crazy. And I think that brings me to like point number two, is that like, I'm trying to be out less for these things, or at least, you know, do them in such a way that allows me to be home for more of like the moments that I can be helpful, you know, dinner time, bedtime, et cetera, et cetera. But I do it because it clears my head, right? It's like one of the, I'm sure you would agree, like being on stage performing is like one of the only times throughout your day, at least for me, that I feel like I am actually present, you know, like you kind of have to be. You're playing an instrument, you're singing, you're paying, you know, there's a million different things going on. You can't focus on what's on your phone or what's going on over here. It's like, you're doing this thing and you have to focus on it. And so when I get home from those shows and I wake up the next morning, I feel lighter. And I think my biggest point is like, I feel like I can be a better dad, you know,
for sure. And like,
yeah.
And you know, even beyond that, like in real life, like I'm a very quiet, reserved person.
Yeah.
And on stage, like it's just a chance for me to, I mean, you've seen me, like I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
And it's just a chance to like let out all that shit that I'm constantly like repressing so I can be a normal functional person in society.
Yeah.
Like, and so it's a chance for me to let all that out, and it's regenerative. And, you know, like you said, you just feel better about it. And I mean, I think at least for me at this point, the second piece of it is I just want to like, I think it's a stubbornness within me. Like I really want to prove that it's possible to like live this life. Cause I grew up for such a long time, you know, and you know, I'm not trying to shit on my parents. They were great, but like, I got a lot of the, you know, this music thing isn't going to go anywhere and they're not wrong. Like it hasn't gone anywhere, but like, I almost want to like be the solution to that problem and just show like Dawson or show the dude that I can do this without, you know, sacrificing all these things. And like, I can still provide a good loving home while also, you know, pursuing dreams. I don't want to like set the example that like, no, you have to go work an office job and repress all this shit so that you can have a happy life. So like part of it is like a stubbornness that I just have to prove to him and set that example. I don't know if that's a good thing, but like that is also what goes through my head.
Honestly, I've had this conversation with a friend of mine, one of my oldest friends. She's a nurse that works like, you know, 12-hour shifts at a time. So there's like, you know, pretty much full days throughout the week where she's not home with her kids. And we kind of like, you know, vent back and forth about this sometimes, about that just inherent self-imposed guilt of like not being present while the kids are awake or doing whatever, when in reality they'll probably be fine most of the day anyway, if you just, you know, give them some things to play with, some snacks, whatever. Anyway, but she always comes back to the fact, and this really, when I heard this, it really resonated with me, and it's similar to what you just said. It's like you're modeling that behavior that it's okay to do the things for yourself that fill you up. And when I heard that and I started looking at it that way, I still have that guilt when I leave, but it's not as like overpowering. It's like, okay, no, when I wake up in the morning, she's going to be okay, right? The kids are going to be okay. They're not going to be giving me a silent treatment or, you know, upset with me because I wasn't there for bedtime because I was out doing music. Even my 8-year-old has started like just out of nowhere, just like telling me, oh, it's so, I love that you go play music, and I love that you do. And then I'm just like, hearing that like makes me think, oh, it works, and like they're getting it. You know what I mean? So I do feel like there's something to that. And to your point, it's like maybe not proving the fact that like, oh, like the dream comes true or whatever, but proving the fact that like, who cares? Like, you're still doing it, right? Like, so
you can pursue these things and not have to like tamp it down and just like remove that part of the equation. And that was like a thing that happened to me, like when I was, I think we've discussed this before maybe, but that was a thing that happened to me when I became a teacher. Like I became a teacher both because I loved it and I really did, but also because like it provided me enough free time to do these other projects on the side. I had summers, I had all these breaks. It was great. But then as I got more responsibilities as a teacher, as I got better at it, then all those things started to go away, and I fell into like a legit depression where I was just like, I don't have any of the energy in those off times to pursue any of these things. Like all I'm trying to do is just survive. And then, you know, I got depressed. And so I kind of left that life behind and started doing this other thing. And now I'm much happier. So it's just like, I don't know. It's about proving that you don't have to remove that part of yourself from the equation. Like there's a way to make it work. That's kind of what I want to model for him, I guess.
Yeah. And same. And I think it also goes back to like that whole equation you're talking about, like it truly, and just circling this back, it truly does not happen without a good partner, right? It's like,
no,
you're the two variables in the equation that need to come together or else shit's going to break down. And so like the fact that we both are in these situations where we have these partners that are kind of okay with us going out, acting like teenagers for, you know, every so often, right? It's like, thank goodness. Like, yeah, we might come home and they might have they might have gone to war the night before and they might not be thrilled, but you know what? Okay, we'll take it over from here for a few hours. Go do your thing, whatever. Like, we got ours.
I mean, we've just fell into that great routine where like, all right, the next day, like she needs to go get a pedicure. Yeah. I'm just going to be on dude duty all fucking day.
Yeah.
And I get that. And like, you just have to find that give and take. And like, she's going to allow me to go do this. And now I need to give her something in return.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, that's just what it is, like finding a way to make it work. And I think we have pretty well.
That's good. That's good. all right. We got like 8 minutes left. I think, Corey, you came up with an idea to wrap up these podcasts with a segment that you're deeming homework. And you gave me a little bit of insight into what this is, but I don't really have a great idea. So I'd love for you to just bring this to light for me and also the folks listening. And let's
yeah, for sure. Yeah, so yeah. Basically, I had this idea that like I wanted us to give each other cultural recommendations to try out with our children, whether it's like a movie, trying to get them like introduced to an album or a style of music. Cause like I've found that, you know, although he's only two and, you know, is not really a for real human being yet, he still responds to certain things in different ways. And like, weirdly enough, he really likes metal music. Like, yes. Have you ever seen that movie Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen from like 2007?
Yeah. I was going to say, there's a bit, long time ago, but yeah.
There's a bit in this movie where like this baby, every time he hears metal music, like calms down and becomes normal. And
they
use it in the movie where like, it's because when he was in the womb, the mom was spending a lot of time at like a metal club. So like, that's what he became used to. And so that happens with Dawson now. Like sometimes in the car, he's having that shit fit about being put into the car seat when he doesn't want to. And so like one of my go-tos is I just put on metal music and every time he chills out. I don't know if he's actually responding to it, but he chills out. I haven't decided whether he's just like scared and not like sure what the fuck's going on, or if he's actually like soothed by the screaming dissonant guitars.
Yeah.
But I wanted to like basically try these experiences, things that we've had like with our children, with each other, and then report back on like how they are responding to it, and like what their opinions are. Because also like, at least with your kid, like they're gonna probably say some funny shit if I tell you to show them some metal stuff.
Absolutely. And
like recommend them an album. So like that was kind of the idea here. I just wanted to like share some things that like we've experienced, share them with our own kids, and then report back on like what their reviews are, so to speak. But also like, I guess in the dude's case, like just how he responds to those things.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the basic idea here. And love so, that. You know, I guess that's what I wanted to give you this week, was I just wanted you to play like a metal record for your girls and to see what they said and like if they're scared of it, okay, where they fall on the spectrum of like that. So
you got one in particular.
I'm gonna give you
all right
shit, what the fuck is the name of this album? We can cut around this
and this will be this will be one that your little dude is responding to frequently.
Yeah, absolutely. So like this is the go-to when like he's really upset in the car. This one always just instantly chills him out. So I want you to play You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To, the 2024 album from Knocked Loose.
Okay
It was my favorite album from 2024, like personally, and that's how I discovered this. Was like I was just playing that record all the time because he was, you know, just kind of born in 2024. He was born January 25th, 2024. So I was just playing that. So I think also that has something to do with it, was the fact that like all the early stages of his life, he just heard me around the house listening to Knocked Loose. And now it's just like a comfort food for him.
And so he might just like, he might even recognize like a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. Okay. That's perfect.
So that's my homework assignment. And I'm really interested to hear what the girls have to say about this record.
I am going I am going to film this. Just to get the true like gut reaction.
Okay. Love it.
I'm going to make a prediction here. Okay. I have a feeling, my 8-year-old is just going to make one of those faces. Like, what the fuck are you? What the fuck is this? And my 3-year-old is probably going to just start dancing around like an idiot. She seems to be the one that's really more into like that louder, fast in your face stuff. I'm trying to think of, she really likes, I don't know if it's like the theme, but it's like one of like the Sonic the Hedgehog themes that just gets progressively like faster and she just goes nuts for it. It's like that shit. But that's my prediction. We'll see how it turns out. I'll report back on the next episode. Sounds good. And next time we'll be here with a guest. I don't think we know what guest yet, but you'll get to be introduced to someone new. So yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. And next week, you're going to hit me with your homework assignment that I can give to Dawson. And I will report back.
That I understand, I'm going to think about that as well. So perfect.
All right. Awesome. So this has been Dad Rock episode 1. Check back in with us. And we'll keep it rolling. Talking about artist life and
dirty diapers.
Dirty diapers, lots of them.